News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Sinn Féin President Mary Lou MacDonald, good morning. Thanks for
morning,
coming
Shane.
In to us. You are not running for president after a summer of speculation. Why not?
Because having taken the time to reflect on this very carefully and mindful, Shane, that we're at a particular time in Irish political life. We are now, I believe, on the run into that moment where we are going to have referendums on Irish reunification. And I'm very conscious that there's a lot of work that needs to be done to set the scene for that, to craft a national conversation that's respectful and democratic. And whoever is Uachtaráin after the presidential election, I think will have a really, really particular, a really, really important role in mediating that and promoting that. So it's for that reason, really, that I thought long and hard about.
That's why you thought you might go for it.
Yeah. Would I? Is that the thing that I should do? Is that something that I should consider? So I took time to think about it. Lots of people over the last number of weeks have spoken to me about the options and what to do. But ultimately, the reality is that my job remains to take on this government, lead Sinn Féin, lead the opposition, work with my Sinn Féin colleagues, but also colleagues beyond Sinn Féin, not alone to hold Micheál Martin and Simon Harris to account, to keep their feet to the flames for all of their many, many failings, but also when the next general election comes around, to present to the Irish electorate a real sense of an alternative government at last. I mean, I'm disappointed that we didn't get into government after last November's election, as you're well aware. There's a lot of work to be done. I have made a commitment to lead that work, and I intend seeing that commitment through.
Was it a case of the Ard Cóirle of the party saying, actually, Mary Lou, we need you. We don't have anyone to replace you as leader, and that's why we don't want you to go. Was that effectively?
Shane, can I tell you, in all things in life and politics is no different. We may think differently, but none of us are irreplaceable. Obviously, I enjoy the full support and confidence of the party nationally to lead on, and that is the overwhelming desire that I would do that. But there was also a conversation around the prospect of Sinn Féin contesting, doing well, contesting even to win the Oras. And the process, I should say, is still underway. I'm simply making clear today.
It's not you, no, I accept
that. I spoke to some colleagues over the weekend, and I just believe as we're meeting as a parliamentary party today, that it was best for me to be clear as regards my own position.
Okay.
So we're not having a false
So who will you run, do you think?
Pardon me?
Will you run a candidate? Will Sinn Féin run a candidate?
We still have that option.
Do you not need to make your mind up?
Well, we are making our minds up, and I will bring a proposition on the 20th of September. And I've seen some
Saturday
commentary.
Week, is it? Yeah, Saturday week.
Yeah, and I've seen some commentary saying, well, that's very late. I don't think it is. I mean, the contest begins in earnest on the 24th of September.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
And then it runs to the 24th of October. And believe you me, that's almost 5 weeks of campaigning. That's ample time for the Irish people, the Irish electorate.
So if Anna Bacci says you're dithering, you don't agree with that then?
No, I don't. And I think it's best for all of us to like manage our own political parties. What I can guarantee is having gone through this process, having included everybody, heard everybody, that we will emerge in a united way with whether it's the proposition around our own candidate or backing another, Catherine Connolly.
Yeah, I was going to is that an option for Sinn Féin?
Of course it is. Of course it is.
And would it be a sign of weakness, though, if Fine Gael had a candidate, Fianna Fáil had a candidate, and the other of the big three, if you like, didn't have a candidate? Would that be seen as a sign of weakness?
No, I don't think so. I think that's not how we have come at that. And by the way, if you're to judge by media reports yesterday, Fine Gael might have two people on the ballot, judging by the chatter, but that's a matter for themselves. No, that's the issue here has a genuine effort by us to get this right, because we are at the party of Irish reunification. This election, of course, has to be about calling out the failures of the current government. I listened with great interest to Senator Tom Clonan and his critique of their performance for people with disability and carers and so on. So the campaign is about that. It's about preventing Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, who believe that they have government sewn up. I believe we have to get them out of government, and we also need to keep them out of the Oras. But it's also about having a person, an individual, in that office that is also forward-looking, and that it is
so
very
that could
much about
be Catherine Connolly potentially.
Well, Catherine is very accomplished, very experienced, independent-minded. Certainly, her commitment to social justice domestically and globally is acknowledged by.
Would you have concerns about her visit to Syria, for example, about the fact that she backed Gemma O'Doherty as a presidential candidate last time? Would they be concerned?
I think those are things, in fairness, for her to.
Yeah, fair, but
you know, she's. Yeah. I don't speak on her behalf, but I think honestly, anybody who knows her, who's watched her over the last number of years in the Oireachtas, knows she's a good person. She's a very well-intended person, and she's a person whose politics, like our own, is grounded genuinely in equality. And
she's less likely
justice.
To win. Can I put
and
it to you? She's less likely
that.
To win than you would have been if you'd.
Well,
won.
Look, and we are. Weighing up our options, I'm taking my name off the table. That is.
Have you spoken to other people outside Sinn Féin about potentially backing them?
Over the last number of months, I had conversations with others, people that I thought might be interested or might be appropriate. Of course, we've done all of our due diligence.
Do you want to tell us who they were?
No, I don't, because I don't. But we've gone about this very, very methodically. The next 7 years are a really crucial 7 years for Ireland and for us as Irish Republicans, for people who are committed to Irish reunification and a process that is inclusive, democratic and peaceful and orderly. The role of the Uachtaráin, although away from the day-to-day scrum of politics and, you know, executive power, in terms of leading opinion and sentiment and almost being, a political lubricant kind of at this time is really, really important. And we genuinely want to get it right. We really have gone to great efforts to make sure that we have considered this and taken the time that we have to make the right call. And for me, I have no doubt I've arrived at a decision. The right call is that I remain in post.
You were clearly very tempted, though, weren't you, by the prospect of...
Well, I mean, why would you not be, as an Irish Republican, a united Irelander, living through times that are exciting and challenging, where the prospect of ending partition, building for the Republic, all of the incredible... positive social, economic and political change that I believe can unfold for us. Of course, that's exciting. And of course, I, like any other, I want to be sure that I play my very best role in creating that better Ireland.
Could an Ulster Protestant, an Ulster Presbyterian in the Oras not help foster a united Ireland?
Well, look,
that might not be a serious...
I hope,
I'm obviously referring to Heather Humphreys.
No, I get that. And I hope, ultimately... we will either be running our own candidate or we will be supporting another. Catherine Connolly's name is in the race, so Catherine. But once we're through the democratic process, and whoever it is that's in the Oras, I hope, would fully understand and honour their responsibility to Ireland's future, to the process of reunification, and recognise also there's a whole set of Irish citizens who live in Ireland, on our island. They can run for president. They can even be elected as president. They can't vote as of yet for their president. So it's really important that the individual has an all Ireland, a truly national perspective.
Last question on the presidency. And I know his views have been at variance with Sinn Féin's over the years, but would you consider the idea of backing Bob Geldof for the presidency? He would be that alternative kind of figure. He would be outside politics. He has a huge international
profile. Yeah, his name hasn't featured in internal conversations.
Okay. Is that just because there's just too many differences in relation?
Well, it's because it never occurred to us, to be honest with you. It was news to me. That he had been mentioned until he mentioned himself. Yeah. So but I mean, like any other citizen,
is that a no?
He's free to. He's not in.
Oh no,
our,
I know he
considerations,
can stand. He's not
but,
in your. He's not
but,
in your.
But he can. He's free to, just like everybody else. This is a republic. We are all equal citizens, and I firmly believe that anybody who believes that they want to go and make their pitch needs to be heard respectfully.
Let's talk about other issues. When I look at your front bench, I mean, you have some, you know, very impressive figures there. Owen O'Brien, Piers Doherty, David Cullinan, many others.
Louise O'Reilly. Moran, Murray, Rose Conway-Walsh.
I'm conscious that I mentioned men there and not women, so thank you for adding to that list.
No bother.
But the point I was making, I wanted to make was, a lot of them are in the same roles they've been for a number of years. Is there a slightly jaded feel about Sinn Féin at the moment? You had your big chance a year ago, you didn't quite make it, and now you're a little bit jaded. Is there energy there in the team?
There is. Look, none of your listeners will be surprised to know, because some of them shared our disappointment at not effecting a change of government. So, of course, when that happens, you take time, as we did, to take stock, to reflect, to rest a little bit, you know, to kind of reset your thinking and your energy. But I can safely tell you that the team that I lead, a team of talent and experience, as you've pointed out, will now, when the dole resumes, come out with energy and with purpose to hold Micheál Martin, Simon Harris and Michael Lowry, remember the third leg of this particular government stool, to account, to put them under pressure, to get solutions and answers for the people that we represent. And then when the time comes, to take another run at it again, and I hope that we will be successful on the next occasion in terms of a change of government. I always remain absolutely optimistic and committed to our task, because I know that we can do better. I firmly believe that we can do better. And I also appreciate, and one of the big learns for me from the last election, and I accept this, we did not do enough as Sinn Féin to reach out and make it our business to work with others in a way that was consistent.
On the left, you're talking about.
Yeah, and
Labour,
beyond on the combined opposition, on issues where we have absolute common cause and common ground. And I hope that people in the months since the last general election have noted and have seen the real effort and determination on our part and others, in fairness to them, to correct for that. I think we all recognise that that's really necessary now.
Can I ask your reaction to the news, the latest news about threats being made to the family of Taoiseach Simon Harris? And I know it's something I think you've gone through yourself, but just kind of get your reaction.
Yeah, well, look, any threat to any individual is completely unacceptable, but threats made to a person's family, and especially their children, are utterly despicable. And I have no doubt that the Gardaí, it was certainly in my own experience, they were absolutely fantastic and supportive and effective and efficient. And I've no doubt that that'll be the case for Simon Harris and his family. And I think it's also very important to say that this type of despicable behaviour remains still an outlier in Irish life. This is not normal standard behaviour. For the most part, Irish society, Irish people, the Irish electorate, the Irish public remains respectful, friendly, in fact. Mm. And this type of behaviour, and it happened to me, it's happened to others, but we as political figures and public figures need to remind ourselves and others, this isn't standard. It's not the norm.
Okay, a couple of last quick things. We had John Fitzgerald, the economist, on the show a little bit earlier. He was making the point. He said, if we are going to have an effective equality tax, a wealth tax in Ireland, he says the only way of doing it is to have a property tax, an effective property tax. And he said he didn't understand how parties of the left, and he mentioned Sinn Féin in particular and People Before Profit, could oppose such a
well, then he needs to reflect on the fact that the property tax as currently cast is a tax on the family home.
He says that's where the majority of our wealth is. This
government is looking to jack that up. Look, if you're to take that view at a time when property prices are skyrocketing to the extent that to have a chance of purchasing a starter home, you need an income level of, what's it reckoned, €100,000. I mean, that's not normal. We live at a time when that wealth, as you call it, in terms of the valuations of people's homes, if you're lucky enough to actually buy a family home, is in reality, in many, many cases, a millstone around a family's neck. So I think there has to be a moment where the economists, and I don't mean, I'm not directing this remark directly at John, but anybody who's in an ivory tower in this regard actually gets real. People and families are really, really struggling for their grocery bills, to get their kids back to school, to get their kids into childcare, if they're lucky enough to get a place. We have 40,000 kids on children on waiting lists, to get their young people through college or apprenticeships.
Okay. All right.
So this notion that there's the average family who happen to have a home and a mortgage on their home represent, you know, a great well of wealth that's to be targeted, I think,
Can I ask you a final question? You've done a series of public meetings around the country about the triple lock. And in those meetings, you've kind of suggested there was a real risk of conscription coming in if the triple lock was abandoned. Isn't that wild exaggeration on your part?
It's not wild exaggeration to say, and it is my belief, that the history of Europe and of the world has been of ordinary working class kids, generally men, but young men and women fighting rich men's wars.
Yeah,
I don't believe that's where we need to be. Conscription hasn't really happened.
If you exclude Ukraine, whose country was attacked,
yeah,
where else has conscription happened in a wartime?
Well, you have to go back to the Vietnam War. The point that I have made in the public meetings that we have attended, and I've said this as much as a mother, as an elected representative, that in no way would I countenance my son, my daughter, fighting
somebody else's war. That's my point. You're being emotive
but this subject is emotive. It matters to us as a country with the tradition of military neutrality and non-alignment, with an incredible record of Irish peacekeepers.
So we should allow Russia to have a veto, or even the US have a veto where we have.
What we should do is accept and recognise that as we're speaking now, Shane, because of the actions of some very powerful nations, you cite the United States of America, some European powers, Israel, which can act with impunity, that the UN system, the entire system of international law, of human rights law, is now under incredible pressure. And if Ireland does not stand firm, if we crumble in the face of that, what replaces that?
That's Mary Lou McDonald, Uachtaráin Sinn Féin, you will not be Uachtaráin na hÉireann, at least not this time around anyway. But thank you indeed for coming.
My pleasure, Shane. Thank you.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.